right. If you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. You hear that, Kevin? Is that good? That thing's been battling me all morning. Over the next few weeks, going to do a study on the cross and the people that surrounded the cross of Jesus. You know, I went to an event this year where they were going to have some music and speakers and stuff like that, one key speaker. It was a larger church. And anyhow, while I was there at that event, this speaker got up and he spoke, and I listened to him. He spoke for about 45 minutes, and I don't know how many people. There were several people sitting in the crowd, and I was watching over the crowd and standing there listening to him. And he went through his life story and basically how he came from poverty and went through a process of sports and college and continued to have good success in his life. And he was given some pointers of things that he did that helped along the way, and he addressed some young people and that kind of stuff. But the one thing that I really just jumped off the page at me was he never mentioned Jesus. He never spoke the gospel. He never mentioned the cross of Jesus. And if I was standing there, a lost person looking for some kind of direction or hope in my life, I would have walked away with basically, if I try harder and I work harder, then maybe I'll find my dream and I'll have good success. That was what I would have walked away with from that. And I go, you know, there's a lot of churches nowadays that are following after the pattern of other churches and mega churches. And I'm not against a bigger church as long as it's built on the gospel of Jesus. But I just go, and we're moving in a place that I don't believe God ever intended us to move, and I believe that if here's where I'm at. I don't care nothing about, you know, smoking lights and big numbers and all that kind of stuff. Really don't care nothing about it. What I want to be a part of and what I want to lead and be is a biblical church where I see Jesus do today what he did then, where he saves people, he gives life, that sinners' lives are changed and they're redeemed, and you see the power of God carry in and through every aspect of their life, their families, to where you see the power of the gospel, something that carries into Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And it's not just a, you know, a show or an event or some kind of drama that a church puts on in order that we can say, hey, look at all the people and you know, we had this many responses and blah, blah, blah. I'm not really concerned about responses. What I'm concerned about is when I stand before the Lord, you know, and you stand before the Lord, do you have life? Did you know Jesus? Because that's the main thing, and that's what God put us here as a church to do, not to put on, you know, an epic show for anybody, but to be humble and to present the cross of Jesus Christ. You know, I when I was writing this out and writing a few notes over this, I've written 7 outlines in the last 2 days, and I finished this one while I go back there, because this is the most important message that to me in my life. This totally radically, when I understood the message of the cross, what Jesus did for me there, that one message so radically altered the course of my eternity, the course of my life, the way that I treated my wife, the way I raised my children, what I do, and my whole purpose in life revolved around that message. And so I've really just wrestled this week with this, and I just hope to God that God's Spirit speaks to you through it, and that you can come to some understanding. So just looking at the people over the next few weeks that surrounded the cross of Jesus, you have the disciples, and you have Peter, and you have Judas, and you have Pilate, and you have Barabbas, and each one of them, God puts them here in this story so that we can learn a lot of important things from this. And I'm going to start this morning with the disciples. The ones who you think would have really got it, that you think that you know, that they would have been walking with Jesus day in and day out 3 years, and they listened to his teachings, and not only with the multitudes, but just personal discipleship teachings that Jesus shared insight and understanding with them. And I've always thought, you know, they didn't get it for some reason. And when it come down to it, if you want to know the truth, there should have been 12 more crosses on the hill that day. But Jesus died by himself. And so in that, I look at that and go, is it possible that maybe a lot of us aren't getting it? That we're not getting the point, that we're not understanding what this is about, and what, because I think we let culture mold the church, and we let culture mold our thoughts of what Christianity is, instead of looking at God's word and coming to the place to go, I'm building my, like Cody was talking about, family, I'm building my foundation based upon this, whether the culture likes it or not, whether the church culture approves of it or not, really don't care. And if you're here, you're probably going to hear some stuff today where you're like, I don't know about that, but here's what I want to challenge you, especially, you know, parents and grandparents who are, you're raising up your kids, you're raising up your grandkids. Don't gamble your babies eternity on what a preacher says, because there's a lot of preachers out there that's not preaching God's word. And I always tell you, don't listen to what I say, listen to what I'm reading from and what I'm pulling out of. It's not interpretation, it's just black and white truth. And so in that, when you look at this, starting in Matthew chapter 26 verse 55, it says, in that hour Jesus said to the multitudes, this is when he was being arrested, falsely accused after the Garden of Gethsemane. It says, have you come out against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Now I want you to notice this right here. Then all, not a few, not some, but all of the disciples forsook him and fled. Forsook him and fled. You know, when you look back over the disciples from the time that Jesus called them out to follow him up until this point, you know, there was a time early on in Jesus' ministry where I would call it the popular years, popular days, where everybody wanted to hear what Jesus had to say, and he was doing signs and wonders and miracles, giving sight to the blind, you know, giving where the lame could walk, and healing sicknesses, and all the different things. The Bible said everybody who came to him with a sickness at one point in time, that he healed all of them, lepers. And so people were seeing this, and you can imagine the popularity that Jesus had in that day, that multitudes followed him everywhere he went. And here are these 12 backwoods disciples. You know, they were nobodies as far as their community was concerned, from every kind of background, but they were not, you know, important people at all. And now they feel important. And they're a part of something to where people are recognizing them. And it's a hype thing at this point in time. And the problem is that the disciples have a total misunderstanding of what Jesus had come to do and what he was about, insomuch they wasn't even hearing him, the Lord himself, teach them and tell them, because they had a mindset that here is the Messiah. He's coming to set up his kingdom right now. He's going to rule and reign. He's going to crush all these enemies and the Romans and the people who are keeping me oppressed, that has my life looking awful and I'm struggling and all these things. But, you know, Jesus has come because he's going to change all that. And here we are. We are his, you know, cabinet members. And we're fixing to have great benefits. We're fixing to rule and reign with Christ. We're going to sit on thrones of him. And they were all about the hype. Man, they was all about it when they thought they had it understood. And if you'll look, the closer that Jesus came to the cross and to fulfill his purpose here, by which he came to seek and save sinners, you know, I think they missed that point a lot. And I think the church is missing that point a lot today. But when it comes to this point, it even came down to a point in one of the other scriptures here where Jesus was trying to communicate his purpose, his one purpose to him. He's like, I'm fixing to go to Jerusalem, and I'm gonna be delivered over to the scribes and the Pharisees and the Jews, and they're gonna crucify me, but on the third day I'm gonna rise again. Now, all of a sudden, this teaching that Jesus is finally trying to get across to them, they kind of, I think they heard it for a second. It didn't go, and I want y'all, please listen to this. It didn't go with their agenda. Didn't look like the Christianity they had drummed up in their mind, that they was building their hopes and dreams around. And now all of a sudden you got this king who should be putting them on the throne. He's telling them, I'm fixing to be crucified. I'm fixing to die a criminal's death. Crucifixion was horrific. And I'm fixing to give my life and I'm going to die on the cross. And his best friend, Peter, was his best friend basically, calls him to the side and he's like, hey, Lord, what are you talking about here? That's not going to happen. We're not going to let that happen. And the Lord looked at Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, for you do not desire the things of God. And he rebuked Peter. And I think sometimes we can get so far off in what we want Christianity to be today and what we want the church to look like that all of a sudden, you know, here they are in the garden where Jesus is arrested and everything kind of goes, whoa. And now here's what, think about this, here's what they're facing. He's not just facing crucifixion, we're facing a cross. And when it come to the point of them embracing a cross, it says they all forsook him and fled. You know, the cross sends a lot of people running today. But here's the thing, the church was never built on hype. Lights and smoke and self-help messages and how important and how, you know, beneficial that it is to your life and making your life better, more comfortable, you know, fixing all your problems. I hear people all the time, and I've heard the phrase go, you know what the church is, and I don't know if any of y'all said it. If you said it, don't say it to me. The church The church is not a museum for saints, but it's a hospital for sinners. Like, it's not a hospital. It's not a hospital. It's not a place where you come with your problems. And I'm not saying that God's word doesn't deal with our problems and our troubles, but the whole purpose of church is not so that people with problems can come here, get their problems fixed, and then get on about their life. The church is actually a training facility for soldiers. That's what the church is. And there's a lot of people who are like, you know, I ain't signed up for that. Then why in the world would you come? Because that's the direction that I want to move to and go, you know, I'm all about helping people. Jesus is about helping people. I'm all about loving and ministering to people. But my question is, are you wounded as a soldier and you need healing from that so that you can go back out on the battlefield? Or are you just in a mess because of the life choices you made and you don't want to deal with it? And so, you know, I'm not... You know, Jesus never talked about buildings and cushions and comfort. When you talk to people out in the world, you mention church, they think about buildings and pews and cushions and let's make sure that this speaker is a dazzler and that the worship team, you know, they are really talented and it's good and it's loud and there's a spirit where everybody's just into it. And I love true worship, love it. I love it loud and I love true worship. But here's the thing that I want to point out. In the scripture, the church was built upon the blood and guts of Jesus, nailed to a wretched tree, dying for sinners like me. That's what the church was built upon. And when you study your church history, early church is built upon the blood of the saints who gave their life because they held to the message of Jesus died on a wretched tree for my sins, was buried and rose again. And he's called us to share that message with the world. Every person sitting here, not just pastors, not just people who've been to seminary, not highly. The church isn't built on doctorates and master's degrees and seminaries and philosophies and all that crap. The church is built upon the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who died in my wretched place so I could be forgiven and I'm no longer a slave to sin. That's what the church is built upon. And think about this. The people who follow are called to bear our cross. You know, Jesus never forced anything. Everything you do for the Lord, that's your choice. Jesus always invited. When he walked by the disciples, he said, hey, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. They're the ones that chose to drop their nets and follow because they believed at that point of how much knowledge they had who he was. And also when he said, he was talking to them in another crowd, he said, if any man wants to follow me, let him deny himself daily, take up his cross and follow me. He didn't pull no punches. He didn't try to disguise. You know, there's a lot of stuff that where it seems like the gospel and the message of the cross. You know, what we want to do is we want to put lace and flowers on the cross. Go, oh, no. You know, it's really comfortable and it's happy and everything's wonderful. I'm like, there's nothing wonderful about the cross. There's nothing wonderful about what he went through there in order that we could be saved. And the church is dressing up the cross so much that people are comfortable carrying that type of cross. But that type of cross doesn't project the message of the gospel. That type of cross is like a recliner that you sit in and go, yeah, I'm a Christian. I can live however, do whatever, you know. And we make up all these excuses of why we're not looking anything like Jesus. And we go through weeks living like the world, looking like the world, embracing the world, chasing the world, being molded by the world. And we walk in Sunday and like, whoo, man, I need some self-help. I hope you got a good one today, preacher, so that we can get that hype build and we can go back out and follow after the world. I'm like, honestly, if you live that life, you're probably going to hell when you die. If you just want to know the truth biblically, because the message of the gospel transforms our lives. And here's the thing that the disciples need to learn. You know, there was a lot of self-confidence with the disciples. They you know, thought because of their position that they held, they were high members of the church that Jesus was building. And all this stuff, and because of all the knowledge, because they listened to the messages and they saw the things and all that, they thought that they had it all together. And they had a lot of self-confidence. But here's the thing, and I won't get into it this week, but Jesus even told, because Peter's like, hey, I'm ready to go to prison, even die with you. All of them said, we're willing to die for you. We never forsake you. And he's like, I want you to understand something. Without my spirit, without my presence, every one of you will forsake me and leave. And it's the same with us. Don't get to thinking because you've been in church for 35 years, or 135 years, or you're a Baptist, or your mama had you here in her womb, and all that stuff that you're guns and grit, and you'll do something for Jesus. Apart from the Spirit of God within you, you're just like me. You would forsake him and flee. And so it's by God's grace and by God's mercy, and God calls us to be cross bearers, not cross wearers. I want you to think about this. There's a lot of people today, and I'm not against, okay? Not against this stuff. I'm not telling you to, you know, erase your tattoos or quit wearing your night. You know, normally I have a cross on my necklace. But here's the thing. It's easy to wear a cross necklace. And you know, tattoos, if that's what you're into, cross tattoos and all this stuff and T-shirts that talk about Jesus. But you know what I've noticed in our culture? The cross is cool. Cross cool. Now there's even jeans. I don't know if mine has it on it, but there's even jeans now that got the cross on it. You know what that means? Unbelievers can wear the cross. They do. Test it. One of the things me and my wife often do, like we're somewhere where there's an opportunity and somebody's wearing a cross, I always go, so what does that mean to you? What is that thing right there? What are you talking about? That thing right there you're wearing, a cross on you. What is that? Does that meaning to you? Oh, man, you and my mom and dad bought that for me. I actually had a lady one time, I was at a restaurant and she was standing at the cash register checking out and she had on a T-shirt with a cross and all that. And I was like, so what does that thing mean to you? She looked like she didn't know what she was wearing. She was like, oh, I just a shirt. It's one something I thought it was cool and I bought it. So anybody, unbelievers can wear. I see Hollywood actors that don't act like Jesus, wearing crosses and all that and saying, you know, God this and God that. It's a popular movement in our culture today. But there's a difference between a cross wearer and a cross bearer. And Jesus invites us not to wear it, but to bear it. And here's the thing. You're only going to see the power of the cross in your life when you start hanging on it instead of it hanging on you. There's a lot of people got crosses hanging all over them, but we're not willing to hang on our own cross, to die to ourselves. So what is this cross-bearing that you're talking about? What does it look like? It means that I die to self-exaltation, that I die to self-reliance, that I die to self-confidence, that I die to my self-awareness, that I die to my self-centeredness, and that I die to my pride, my image, my arrogance, and my comfort. I see some people getting the tennis shoes on right now and go, let's get out of here. Amen. I say, the cross is not comfortable whatsoever. Just real quick, if you'll stay with me, don't lose me today. We're not going to go there for time's sake. But if you'll study back a little bit, when Jesus, remember when Jesus beat beyond recognition as a man, his insides was literally hanging out. His spine was showing. You know, the Passion of the Christ doesn't give the full view of what he physically suffered, to the point that when they laid his cross on him, he couldn't go that far because he should have been dead already. And he collapses, and the Bible says that they compelled a man, Simon of Cyrene, to bear his cross. Think about this. That was at the beginning of the Via della Rosa road. Simon latched on. Now think about it. All the crowd ahead of him didn't know who Simon was. Jesus was walking, a bloody mess. His beard was being plucked out. People were punching him in the face, cursing him. His face was covered in spit. He was wearing a crown of thorns. We ain't talking about greenbrier, that was beat into his head by Herod's soldiers as they mocked him and worshiped him. And now Jesus walking, here's Simon following him, bearing this cross. What do you think the people did to Simon? They spit on him, they cursed him, they was punching him. You know why? Because he was a cross bearer. He was bearing the cross of Jesus. So bearing a cross is not something you're like, oh yeah, I really enjoy this cross bearing thing. It's something that goes totally, here's the thing, it goes totally against myself. And that's what the cross does. When you hang on the cross, it crucifies you. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. It means I die to myself, to my will, to my wants, to my dreams, and I line my life up following Jesus. Not very appealing in America. But it's what the Bible teaches. And you know what? If you start doing that, you'll figure out, hey, this cross-bearing is not too bad. It's not too bad because it doesn't produce what the world tells you it produces. Well, that kind of Christianity is just so overbearing. And all you do, I mean, what are you supposed to do? Walk around and be holy all the time and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you, sir, do not know the God that I serve. And I'm not going to take information from an infidel. Two of y'all got that. Say, what does it look like? It means my heart, my life, and my actions bear the marks of the cross because it's branded on my soul. That's what it means to be a born-again believer, that what Jesus did for a sinner, my wretched sin, I deserve everything about it. I deserve. There's a lot of people who can't say this. I deserve to be cast into the lake of fire apart from God altogether and to be tormented for all eternity. I can confess I deserve that. I lived like the devil himself, loved sin, pursued sin, hated God's ways, and therefore hated God the whole time while I was a Baptist going to church. Hypocrite. All of those things were, yeah, you was a hypocrite. Like, you are definitely right. I was a hypocrite. Until I come to the place where I realize, you know what? Church doesn't save me. Being baptized didn't do anything. But the message of the cross branded on my heart, and it radically changed everything. Amen. Radically changed everything. And as a church, we always have to be reminded of the fact that that's the only reason you're here. You're not here because you're great, because you're good, because you're worthy, because you stopped doing something and started doing something. You know, I finally got off of drugs and I started coming to church. You're still lost and on your way to hell. And the only reason that any of us standing or sitting here can come to this place and say that I'm a child of God is because of what Jesus did on the cross. And if he had not done that, we have no hope, zero hope. So there's no roads around the cross. And bearing the cross looks like this. Think about your marriage. Think about your relationship to the people in this church. Bearing a cross looks like showing unconditional love. Jesus demonstrated unconditional love. It wasn't like, hey, if you're nice to me, be nice to you. Hey, as long as you don't say something about me, I'll show you this Jesus love. But if you say something, that's as far as I go. And then we get the arrogant attitude. You know what? All of us have issues, like, yeah, that we need to take to the cross and deal with. The cross is endless mercy and forgiveness. Do you practice bearing a cross in your marriage? That you show unconditional love, that you show endless mercy and forgiveness. The cross is humility without bounds. Man, do you realize what Jesus had to humble himself and do to save me, to save you? Do you really? You know, I think the church needs to set up camp around the cross and just spend some time there to go, so you're telling me, get some understanding. So you're telling me that he had to hang naked before the world, beat like a piece of ground meat, mocked, and the people just actually just sat down and watched. You're telling me he did that? He had to do that? He loved to do that in order that I could say, hey, I'm saved and I'm a Christian. I can sit comfortably in a nice building with air conditioning and a cushioned seat. That's what he went through so I could do this? No. He went through that so he could save your soul so that you could share that with the world. The cross is living for the benefit of others who most of the time don't care. Answer this question. What benefit did Jesus get by going to the cross? Anything? Did he benefit in any way? Then why do we come to the church going, man, I hope I get something today? And you know, so what do I get out of this following Jesus thing? You know, am I going to make a lot of money? Everybody's going to like me. Everybody's going to forget the hoodlum that I was. They never forget. Amen. You know, I'm going to be a superstar. Maybe I'll get on stage one day. Can I make a lot of money doing this thing following Jesus? Zero. What if we said, no benefits? We don't have benefits here. What we have is appreciation. Because carrying a cross is me appreciating what the one who bore my sins did for me. And when that message and that understanding gets to your heart, if you're not saved, you can be. I just want to point out that a lot of the stuff that people try to sell you on, oh, you know why? Because it's not popular. Like, here's the true biblical gospel. We're all wretched sinners. All of us are going to go to hell. Every single one of us is going to die and go to hell. Like you've never graced the door of a church, or if you've been there your whole life apart from Jesus, you're going to spend eternity, as the Bible says, and I'm not, you know, hellfire, brimstone, scary, and preacher, that guy, I'm just telling you what the Bible says, in a place of darkness and torment where the flame never stops, where the worm does not die. That means your rotten, maggot-eating, burning flesh, you'll smell it and dwell it all eternity because of your greatest enemy, and that's the sin that dwells within you. Now, if you don't deal with that sin, that's your future. And here's the thing, you couldn't deal with your sin. And Jesus loved you enough to go to the cross to assume your identity as a sinner. Every filthy thing I've ever done, Jesus became that on the cross. And God the Father punished him for my filth. And he willingly did that because he loved you. Do you get that? He did it because he loved you. When you stand at the foot of the cross, you'd have to say, Lord, you're telling me you're doing this because you love me? Do you not know me? He's like, I know everything about you. That's why I'm here. I know everything about you. That's why I'm hanging here. Because if I don't, you have no hope. I just look at people and go, how do you reject that kind of gospel? How do you reject that kind of hope when Jesus said, I'm ready to save you. I'll forgive you for every sin. I'll make you new. I'll cast your sin as far as the east is from the west. You know what your benefit is? I'll give you eternal life. You'll be my child, and there's a kingdom coming one day, but not today. But until then, I have a cross for you to bear. And I hope that this message so brands your heart that you can't control yourself from telling people. Amen. You know, that's what it looks like to bear a cross. Let me finish up. You know, understanding the cross, very important that we understand it. Look in Luke 24, verse 44 through 49. I think it's going to be up here. Now, this is once Jesus rose from the grave because he didn't stay on the cross. Understand that. There's more than just a cross. He had to rise. Had Jesus not risen, he's just a man. But he rose from the grave, and he appeared unto his disciples. Here's the awesome thing. Think of it as like, what's he doing talking to the disciples? I thought they forsook him and fled. You know, they only went so far and they couldn't go no more. And I believe it's by God's Spirit that he drew them back to a place and Jesus shows up. You know, there's a theme through the Gospels of understanding the two disciples who were on the road to Emmaus. Jesus comes along. He sits down with them. He said he opened up their understanding and he spoke the scripture to them. And then here in this, it says, he reveals himself. Verse 40, it says, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? So are we going to eat in heaven? Have you any food here? He proves the point with food. Amen. So they gave him a piece of broiled fish, some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. You know what he's saying there? I want you to understand, everything from Genesis to Zechariah points to the cross of Jesus Christ. Everything in the Bible revolves around one central theme: the cross, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. That's the one message that you've got to get. Right. And that's the one message the church needs to be carrying. And then it says in verse 45, look what it says here, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary, I had to do this, for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. Why was it necessary? That repentance and the remission or the forgiveness of sin should be preached in his name. To who? To all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Amen. Said it was necessary. I want you to understand, it was absolutely necessary for Jesus to die on the cross. Why? Because we're all slaves to sin and rightfully condemned to hell. You remember what the thief on the cross said? Not getting into that. I'm almost done. Stay with me 5 minutes. Remember what the thief on the cross said? One was cursing Jesus, and he said, hey, do you not fear God? Seeing that we are condemned, and rightfully so, rightfully so. That thief went, I deserve to be here. I got to finish this story. A thief who would never be baptized, never give a dollar, never be a part of a member of a church, never be a missionary. He would never verbally share the gospel, yet his life and death shares it better probably than anybody else. That thief said, rightfully so, I deserve to hang here and die on this cross because I'm guilty of what I was charged, and I'm going to be in hell today. And then by faith, he looked to Jesus. Said, Lord, will you remember me? Because I believe you are who you claim to be. Will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And Jesus said, today, today you'll be with me in paradise. Amen. That's called grace, man. So when you look at that, we have to understand that it was necessary for Jesus to die so that we could be forgiven. And if the world has any hope, think about this, we have to take them the message. I'll give you a thought. You know, back there on that wall, I didn't notice it till about a week ago. But that map back there is branded in my mind. God just keeps bringing it back to me, especially when I'm praying. And on the rim of that map, it says, go ye into all nations and preach the gospel. And you can see my pin marks if you ever take a chance. I walked back there the other night, Wednesday night, my wife was in here yakking to a lady. And I didn't want to get involved in it. I'm like, okay. And I looked at that map and I read that scripture and I looked at the world and I walked up and went, five dots. Palestine, Alaska, Japan, Uzbekistan, Colorado. Five dots. That's where we're influencing the gospel. And wherever my boys have been going preaching the gospel. Let me say this, the man that got up and spoke didn't preach Jesus. My two boys followed after that, and they preached the cross of Jesus Christ. But I look at that map back there and go, all right, if the world's going to hear, and we're the ones supposed to be carrying it to it, and there ain't two or three that can do it by themselves. So how are you supposed to do that? Take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow him. Quit listening to everybody tell you, oh, that means that I need to see a vision in the sky and a light, and Jesus calls me, and after I run for 75 years, he finally destroys everything in my life, then I'm going to be a preacher, and then I need to go to school and get a 5-year doctorate degree, and at that point in time, maybe I'll feel comfortable and confident enough in myself that I can go out and I'll share the gospel. But that's not my calling, that's your calling. Like the last time I checked, he wasn't talking to a preacher. He didn't mention seminary. He said, has the message of the cross changed you? And if your answer here today is, the message of the cross has radically changed me, then he said, I want you to go.
That's right.
You deal with it. I want you to go. Like, you mean everybody's supposed to go to Africa? No, probably your family's a good place to start. That could save you a little time from Africa. Maybe your workplace, maybe your friends, maybe the Palestinian community, which is a crack town. Lots of opportunities here to go. I'm being honest, you know, to go and share the gospel. We got some ex-crack people in this church, praise God. And I love them as I love anybody else, and hopefully they love me because I'm an ex all kind of stuff. You understand? And so what I'm saying is, quit looking to Joel in Houston because he ain't getting it done. He don't preach the cross of Jesus. Quit looking to mega churches and people money, because here's the thing, money don't save folks. You can put $1 million in our bank in this church and nobody else is going to be saved because of that. God's people who've been impacted by the cross of Jesus Christ lead to the salvation of lost sinners because we have a heart to go, I believe this message. It's radically changed me, and I'm going to follow Jesus. And you know what? I might follow him to my house and be an evangelist there. I might follow him to my work. I might follow him all over the state of Texas and plant churches. I might follow him to a different country and tell people there about Jesus. But here's what, here's the thing. He's the Lord, and wherever he goes, I love him enough to follow. Do you? Because there's a lot of people sitting in this building who's been running. Let me say this. I'm finished right here. We have a lot of cross bearers in this church. I've seen it. I've seen spouses who the other spouse could have got kicked to the curb, but people choose to carry their cross and show unconditional love and mercy and forgiveness and perseverance and endurance. And I see people who could get ticked off and divide and leave the church and draw lines and just run, forsake it and leave and run somewhere else and run from your marriage and run from the troubles and run. But there are people who are like, no, I ain't running. I'm going to take up my cross and I'm going to pursue my enemies. And I'm going to reconcile, and I'm going to love the way Jesus loved, because that's what he did to me. He pursued his enemy. That's right. And I was reconciled to Jesus. But then there are those who go, nah, I'm just going to run. I'm going to run to another marriage. I'm going to run to another church. I'm going to run to the American dream. I'm going to run to my comfort zone. And I'll be back next Sunday preaching, and I'll listen to you, and you'll be blessed because of it. Like, you know what? The Bible said I can go to every city in the world and I'll never preach at all of them until Jesus comes back. That's right. So if I run out of a group here, there's a group waiting. And I'm not saying that arrogantly by no means, but you know what I'm saying. And here's what I'm confident in. If every person, because I love y'all, y'all know I love you. If every person here, if you could understand and grasp that message and take it personal, we could turn the world upside down. Do you understand that? We could turn the world upside down out of this little podunk town in this little podunk church where I don't know if anybody's got a doctorate degree. And we don't need it because I know the great physician. That's right. And you know that if he's changed you, I just want to encourage you. The only reason that you're saved is because he stayed. He didn't look up and see the disciples running and go, you know what? Forget y'all. They ran. He's like, I'm going to stay, and I'm going to walk the walk, and I'm going to endure so that you have an opportunity to come back from your running. And maybe you're here and you've been running from the Lord, and you're running from the cross. I just want you to know that Jesus, he stayed so that you can come back. And God has a great purpose for this church that goes beyond this town and this building and this moment. God's called us to transform that map. And it takes every person here to do it. So has the message of the cross impacted your soul, branded up on you to where you go, I'm so in love with the Lord and so appreciated that I've just got to tell somebody. Start today. Tell somebody. What if they think bad about me? Die to your stinking self. Get over you. And put your eyes upon Jesus and see what he can do in and through your life. Will you stand with your head bowed? Let's have a word of prayer. My wife and I'll be up here if anybody wants to come and pray. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus. And I love that video at the first where she said, I came and I bowed down. I said, Lord, I just want to give my life to you. That's about all it takes. If you're here and you need to do that, you don't even got to come up here. Bow where you are and give your life to Jesus today. Let the message of the cross transform you. Father, I love you. Thank you so much for giving your own son in our place. Lord, that you was willing to go through all that you went through, that you're still willing to go through that so that sinners could be forgiven, so that the dead could be raised to life, so that we could have hope, so that we could have freedom, so that we can have an opportunity to live the life that you give us. And God, I just pray we wouldn't live that life apart from the message and the power of the cross within us. Lord, that we wouldn't come here on Sunday and forsake you and flee on Monday. God, in the morning, when the day rises, let us rise up and deny ourselves and take up your cross. God, there's power in the message of the gospel. And Lord, if we'd be a people who would take it, we would see and witness that power. Lord, we've witnessed it in our own lives. Help us to love people the way you love people and to quit playing religious games. To put the devil in his place under our feet. And God, that we would go out this week, we'd rightly represent you. If people have any hope, they've got to see you, Lord. And if we're carrying the cross, they're going to see you. Lord, I pray that we would see a great revival, not only in our church, but in our churches in this community. That lost people might see and know that you are truly who you are. And that you've risen and that they have a hope. That they see that hope in us. I pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.